Just a couple of days back, we had talked about Maharashtra being the worst performing state in the fight against the coronavirus pandemic, and we had also explored some reasons for it. Now, today we talk about two more states. Both are worst performing or among the worst performing on certain criteria. Now, the first one we'll talk about in greater detail. Now, that one was the best performing until a couple of months back in all of India. It was held up as an example. I know that you've guessed which one it is. And then something went wrong. Today, it is among the worst performing on many parameters. But it is also the best performing and by far the best performing by a long distance on one very important life and death parameter. I'm giving the story away. The second is a state which surprisingly has the reputation of being robust and healthy and happy, but has done the worst in the entire country on one parameter, that is the life and death parameter. So again, I'm giving the story away. The first state I'm talking about is Kerala, and second, which I will mention in the passing, not in detail, is Punjab, closer to where I stand in Delhi. So Kerala. Now, Kerala initially was held up as an example for the entire country, that Kerala has done a great job of catching cases early. Kerala got India's first coronavirus case. These were two students who came from Wuhan, and they were immediately treated. They were put in quarantine. Everybody who fell sick recovered, and it looked like Kerala had crushed the first wave of the virus. But you know, this virus comes in waves. The moment you declare victory, you don't realize, in fact, now increasingly more and more people realize, as America is realizing now and European countries are realizing, that it is when you think you've crushed the wave and you are licking your wounds and celebrating, maybe that is when the virus is strengthening itself and coming back at you at double the strength, because it also knows now that your system is tired and weakened. So Kerala maybe took their eye off the ball. If you look at the first period of the virus in Kerala, 30th January, when the first case was found, to 3rd of May, Kerala only had 499 cases, that's all, and two deaths. That was a brilliant record, and that is when Kerala's health minister, K. Shalija, or Shalija school teacher as she's called popularly, she became a kind of national and an international icon. She was spoken about. She also appeared on my show, Off the Cuff, which got a lot of viewership and a lot of interest. So what went wrong? If you look at Kerala today, Kerala today has 317,929 cases. So if you take out those 499, then 317,500 odd cases in just June, July, August, September, and now half of October. It's a lot of cases for a small state with a 3.6 crore population. So what is it that went wrong in Kerala? And again, you find every day Kerala's cases are going up. If you look at active cases in Kerala, Kerala's active cases, close to a lakh now, is more than 12% of all of India's cases. Now, how is that happening? How do we explain a state having been so successful and now looking like such a laggard? But there you see the other figure, where I said Kerala tops the country by a long distance. It is like you were running a marathon and the winner finishes the marathon and then has a cup of coffee and has his Gatorade or coconut water, more suited in these circumstances, chilled coconut water, maybe two or three glasses, and the next guy is still fetching up from somewhere. And that parameter, I called it life and death parameter, that is case fatality rate. So on case fatality rate, Kerala is so far ahead of the rest of the country. The rest of the country, we take now pride in the fact that India's overall case fatality rate has come down to 1.52. That is basically that out of the 200 people diagnosed as coronavirus positive, only three die, three out of 200. But in Kerala, what is it? In Kerala, it's 0.35%, which means in 1,000 cases, maybe three will die. In 2,000 cases, 7 will die. That's a remarkable performance. No part of the world, no country, no province has that kind of success. So that is a key parameter on which Kerala is number one. But the other parameters that I mentioned, Kerala is now fallen behind. It's a laggard. It looks like among the worst. In fact, in terms of case positivity rate, it is 13%, which is much higher than the national case positivity rate, which now total average beginning from day one is about 8% and declining. We told you Maharashtra the other day is the worst, which is 20%, but among the second worst is Kerala, 13%. It is too high. And it is also true, as my colleague Avantika Ghosh, who's been traveling in Kerala and covering it in detail, and I will share many of her stories with pictures by Praveen Jain, our photo editor in Kerala. They've done the most extensive reporting travels through Kerala for any Indian media organization. If you read those stories, you also know that about 85% of all tests being done in Kerala are not RT-PCR tests, not the gold standard tests, but they are rapid antigen tests. Now, I might have a different view by now on rapid antigen tests, which have been much maligned, but we'll talk about that later. But the fact is that even with 85% rapid antigen tests, Kerala has 13% positivity, which means if they had more RT-PCR tests, their positivity would have been much, much higher. So what is going on in Kerala? First of all, how can you have such high positivity and so many people getting infected, and at the same time, how can you have such a small percentage of them dying? So that is the fascinating equation about Kerala that we need to understand and which I am trying to get into. Now, I will give you some bullet points, but before that, read Avantika's story from Kasaragod. Now, Kasaragod district initially was held up as a model for the Kerala model. So there was a Kerala model, and within Kerala, there was a Kasaragod model. It has a lot of people working overseas who come back, etc., etc. So it was vulnerable, and initially it did very well. April, May, it was seen as the model as a model for a containment approach to coronavirus pandemic. Now it has a positivity rate of 20% plus, while the state has 13%. So Kasaragod has a positivity rate which is comparable with Maharashtra, which is a lot. At the same time, if you look at Kasaragod, and this is where you see this, what seems like a contradiction of Kerala, but ultimately we'll figure out it is not such a contradiction. That in Kasaragod district, while the positivity rate is so high, at the same time, in the first line hospitals that they've set up to treat COVID cases, 53% of the beds are still vacant. That is what our reporters found when they were in Kasaragod. So how do you explain this? Now, one explanation lies in Kerala's geography, Kerala's demographics. On the negative side, Kerala is the most crowded state in the country. We told you Kerala is about the same size as Taiwan, but has more population. So it's very crowded. Kerala's population density is 859 per square kilometers compared to 467 nationally. Now, that should make Kerala more vulnerable to a quick spread of the virus and to the community spread of the virus. And the health minister there does not deny that in some pockets of the state, community spread is taking place. Now, spread is taking place. What happens after the spread? The second thing about Kerala is that while other states might say, oh, Bihar, for example, it's fundamentally a rural state. It has hardly any urban conglomerations which are more prone to spread of infection or for community infection. Uttar Pradesh is also predominantly a rural state. Maharashtra, you might say, has a lot of big cities. It has Mumbai, Pune, Thane, Navi Mumbai, Aurangabad, Nagpur. Kerala, on the other hand, is what you might describe as a purely urban state, because what is rural is urban, what is urban is rural. So if you've driven on that highway that runs through the length of Kerala, today some parts of it are widened, etc., etc., and there are some facilities, But in the past, when I first, when the first time I drove on that highway, I think in 1991 around Onam time, there was a problem that there was no place where somebody driving could stop and hide behind a tree for your usual stuff. And there were no public toilets. So it was a nightmare because you don't know where a village ends, where a city begins. And you don't know what is a city and what is a village. So that is a disadvantage because everything merges with everything. But if you use it correctly, it can also become an advantage, which is what leads to the second outcome, which is a good one, and we'll come to that in a minute. The third demographic parameter where Kerala has a disadvantage. Look at the people with diabetes in Kerala. Now, diabetes is a comorbidity. Usually, outcomes for diabetics who get coronavirus infection are not as good as the rest. It doesn't mean that it's a one-two punch. You can't survive. Most people survive. But it becomes tougher. If you look at Kerala, then 13.5% of Kerala's women are diabetic compared to the national average of 8.6. And 19.4, almost 20% of Kerala's men are diabetic compared to the national average of 11.9. And yet you will then say that how come its fatalities are lower? Its fatalities should be much higher than the rest of the country. Now, there are more stories that you will see from our reporters who are reporting from, say, the Tamil Nadu-Kerala border. And they report there that Kerala is now stopped checking people from who are coming in from other states. So there is no thermal scanners, nothing. They go to Kerala's big bus terminuses, including the Thiruvananthapuram bus terminus, and they find nobody is checking anything. It is free for all. In contrast, when they go to the railway station, they find that there is strict checking with thermal scanners. Nevertheless, Kerala government now has given up the idea of checking people, of preventing people from coming in who might have the virus, because they think it's impossible. And it's true, it's impossible for any state because India is a very populous state and people move. If you start testing everybody and quarantining everybody, it's going to be an impossibility. It's going to be humanly impossible. So Kerala government, as a strategy now, it's quite evident, and officials and minister have spoken to our reporters to tell them that they've given up the idea of containing the pandemic because containing is not possible. And if you invest, that is their approach, if you invest all your resources is in containing the pandemic, then by the time the patients come to hospital, you are not left with resources. So focus on saving lives. Now here are my four or five bullet points as to why Kerala, despite having such a large high positivity, so many cases, still has hospital beds empty, frontline hospital beds, and still has such low mortality. That's quite incredible. If the mortality is 0.35% of identified cases, you know that a lot of cases go unidentified, particularly in an environment where 85% testing is rapid antigen test. Then if you look at infection fatality rate, you are almost close to a normal flu fatality. This is quite remarkable. If anybody says Kerala is hiding his deaths, try and hide something about a Malayali living or dead. It's not possible. Kerala is a very politicized state, has a lot of media, is highly literate. It is not a state where you can hide hundreds of dead just like that. So here are my bullet points. Number one, and I get this from Avantika. Number one, there is a three-tier system of COVID centers. So first tier, when it's like first responders, you check out the person, okay, you have this problem, you look like you're symptomatic, so you'll go to the next one. And then if you look like you need oxygen or hospitalization, you go to the third one. And there are dedicated ambulances and there is the dedicated system to ensure that there is no ambulance delay. Because the key to saving lives with coronavirus people who are symptomatic and who are in distress is to get them treatment early. Because treatment here is essentially oxygen and steroids. That is what saves your life. Number two, since August, until August, they were not allowing any home quarantine. You had to be quarantined in a government facility. And then obviously they realized that numbers had gone up, so they couldn't have managed it. It was unmanageable. So since then, they say that only people who are young or who are asymptomatic, the young, all right, and older people who are asymptomatic, they can be quarantined at home. All others have to come to a government quarantine facility. And there what happens is that everybody doesn't go to hospital. So this state, and that's the third bullet point, this state has set up sort of nurse-run facilities. Now, these nurse-run facilities have basic medical care, but they have nursing, and nurses look after you if you are mildly symptomatic. And also, if your symptoms get worse or alarming, the nurses or paramedics know how to send it to the next level. So that is how you go to the next level. You can call it the third level or you call it the first level, depending on what do you give priority to, what do you give precedence to, the seriousness of a case or the date of arrival or time of arrival of a case. Then the government took a fundamental decision quite early in the pandemic, that is 2 months or 3 months after the pandemic. First 3 months had looked quite, had given them quite a heady feeling. But as numbers went up, they figured that the solution was to not try and control. You can't control the pandemic, you minimize deaths. So they focus on that. Next point, that this is a very mature public health system, very mature public health system with very good primary health centers. And primary health centers also, you know, COVID sounds horrible, but how does COVID kill a person? COVID kills a person by choking a person. It's essentially a respiratory disease, choking a person. And now you know that early oxygen saves lives. So if you can get people who are in distress to oxygen early, ventilators come much later. Ventilators have lost a lot of their oomph by now. In fact, it will be a medical failure, or a patient will have to be very unlucky, or will have to have real bad complications to reach the ventilator stage. If you look at today's fatality rates all over India, 1.5%, it tells you that not that many people are needing the ventilator. But early oxygen is what saves the life, which brings us to Punjab, just in passing. Now, Punjab, I told you, the same life and death parameter where Kerala tops the country, Punjab is the last. Now, Punjab's been number one in India in so many fields, including per capita income, that people still somehow think Punjab is the richest state in the country. It's not. It's actually fallen way down. People still think Punjab is India's number one country, number one state in sports, athletics, hockey. It is not. It has slipped up. Punjab has slipped up in many areas. But to imagine that a progressive, flat, well-connected state like Punjab has a fatality rate of 3.13%. That is more than nine times as much as Kerala in the same country. That's even more than Maharashtra. It's really shocking. And why this is happening, you can go into more details, and at some point we will, and see some stories by Anisha Bedi and Praveen Jain, who traveled in Punjab to cover this, and you will get some idea. But basic, and particularly see a story from the government medical college, the big medical college hospital in Patiala, where when they were there, until they were there, 25% of all patients who had arrived in the hospital had died. This is a disaster. This is like the early days of the pandemic in northern Italy. So why is this happening in Punjab? Reason is, and I take this reason seriously, which the Chief Minister Amrinder Singh has been saying, people are coming to hospital too late. People also have the Punjabi approach, and these are lines that he has used in his government press release. Koi gal nahi, theek ho jaawange, it doesn't matter, we'll get better, right? Mausam di gal hai, it's just a changing weather that's given me this stuff, I'll get okay. To which I will add one line of my own, ki farak penda, right? It's cough and cold, it happens all the time. So what's happening because of that approach is that people are ignoring fevers, people are not getting tested for coronavirus. By the time they are getting tested and they are coming to the hospital, it is too late. That's why you get these high fatality rates there. And the Chief Minister has said so. in his press release that if you have a problem with coronavirus, if it's symptomatic, your treatment has to begin in the first 72 hours. Because remember, this is literally the gap between life and death is oxygen in time. So once again, the chief minister says, what do I tell people? People are reckless. Loki chata kha rahe hain. People are having charts. And they think it will pass. The virus will wash through the population. We Punjabis are indestructible. Now, that may be an oversimplification. It is true that Punjab's public health system is not a patch on, say, Kerala's. It's also true that Punjab's government's been bankrupt, but so is Kerala's. So given all that, I don't think Punjab can justify being the worst performing in the country on any parameter. A state which has been feeding the rest of the country for 4 decades until now cannot be the last, or cannot be the tops in terms of case fatality rate or the worst parameter.